Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Dope Black Woman podcast. I'm Leanne Levers, one of the co-founders of Dope Black Woman, and this week I'm really excited to have two of my closest friends join me on the podcast as we build our perfect Dope Black Woman playlist. Interestingly enough, they both have the same name, so for the purposes of the podcast, we're going to go with nicknames. So I am joined by Kimmy Lou and Kim Shizzle.
Good on the pronunciation. Thank you
glad
so much.
Did that pronunciation work, Kim?
It worked. Yeah, man.
I won't say what the alternative pronunciation.
And we will. We won't. We will leave it alone, please, and thank you.
Let's just say that the audience will determine when I tag you in the post and they'll pronounce it as it's sound, as it's spelled. So they'll draw their own conclusions. So the reason that I asked both of you to join me on this podcast for this particularly lighthearted episode is because, one, I love both of you, and both of you are two of my closest friends, even though I've known you for very different amounts of time. So Kimmy Lou, I met when we were teenagers some years ago, and we've been friends ever since. And Kim Shizzle, I met more recently. Gosh, is it just a year ago that we met?
Yeah, but the thing is that we knew of each other for a very long time.
Yes, yes. Kim Shizzle's reputation precedes her. Songs that were made by Black women, but without any other sort of kind of parameters around it, how people would choose their favorite songs. So I'm actually really interested to hear about the process by which you guys chose these songs. So each of us are going to pick three songs. We'll alternate in terms of saying what the song is and why. And then we are going to do we're going to engage in a healthy discussion in picking the last song, which is going to, we'll have to pick one song between the three songs that we all choose. So it'll be interesting as our bonus track to fill out the 10. And of course, we'll put this on our Dope Black Woman Spotify playlist so you guys can listen to it at any point in time that you want to. And yeah, but before we get into the podcast, I'm going to do what we always do on the podcast, which is ask both of you to introduce yourselves formally and tell me what makes you a dope Black woman. Kim Shizzle, you can go first.
I really give out my full name, you know.
You don't have to. We can say Kim Shizzle.
Go ahead. You hear me?
Yeah, much better.
All right. I really give out my full name, but for this purpose, Kimberly Williamson Smith. Yes. Yes, Kimmy Lou. That's my full name. Having a good heart, because I genuinely, at the end of the day, have a good heart. And I think that has enabled me to be the woman I am today, which is pretty dope.
Amazing. So this is going to be slightly more difficult for Kimmy Lou to answer, because I feel like she's possibly the most modest person on the face of the planet. So I'm really interested to hear what your answer is, Kimmy. Go ahead.
It was a real struggle. Both parts of the name, in the sense that, of course, naturally, a lot of people wouldn't look at me and say, first things first, Black woman, they say Chinese woman, they say whatever it is. So it's never been something that I assert, you know, I'm mixed race, that's fine. But even worse, the dope, which is, I guess, not that I have a confidence issue, not that I have a self-esteem issue, it's just not something that I talk about or try to explain or assert or even probably own enough, as my friends would say. Actually, I had to dig deep to say, what are the themes that people would have said about me? And then tap into that and say, hey, this is probably the essence of it. And it's funny because, you know, I do this more so for a living for others, where I figure out what is a particular brand, what is that, what is your essence, how do you exude it, etc. So I know how to do that for other people, but it's hard to assert it for myself, because I feel like that's something that people should declare for you, whether you're dope or not. But that's something I'm working on. Anyway, too much explanation. What I would say is, what I often hear is, I guess multi-layered, So I'm not what you expect half of the time. So mostly because, you know, one of the things is appearance. One of the things is just unassuming. So generally you might not expect these things. So I remember writing this for grad school, one of my applications, and it was around being an exception. And it's something that I've always found happening to me, even if I never tried to be. In other words, the one girl playing football when I was in prep school, or the one, you know, I usually would stand out in certain ways. Obviously, even growing up in Jamaica, not a lot of people that directly look like me, but then you would expect something of that and not seeing that when you actually meet me. And so constantly trying to thrive in this exceptional space, you have to start to own it. And I guess that's what people sometimes are pleasantly surprised by, not being able to put me in a box. And I don't actually like being in boxes. So that's part of what I'm honing in on and being dope.
That's a great answer.
That's a great answer. I'm like, parliament, like, I'm like, damn, can I change my answer? Can I add some stuff like that?
We won't get into this too much, but as someone, because I talk about this kind of diaspora, the differences in the diaspora and how people are treated in the diaspora differently. Being someone, for the record, because obviously people can't see you, who is half Black, half Chinese. I don't know if I'm missing out any other ethnicities. I'm probably missing out a few others, but do you think that there's a difference between how you're categorized in different countries? So in Jamaica, you're Miss Chin. Because every Chinese or Filipino or Vietnamese or any sort of...
any Asian.
Yeah, any Asian is Miss Chin in Jamaica. But is that different in the States versus in the UK?
Definitely in the States versus the UK. And you know what? That is what makes you understand identity and what forms people's perception, right? So a lot of it is projection of people's own views and beliefs. And I think once I grew to...
And their knowledge as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So probably as a youngster, you try to become a chameleon and fit whatever it is people perceive you to be. And then you realize that is like fruitless, you know? You actually learn to own it is who you are and not be bothered by what it is that people perceive of you, because that is a nightmare and that constantly changes. As people grow, as people learn more and become less, you know, ignorant of certain things. What can't change? You can't be adapting to those kind of perceptions. However, yes, I've noticed a difference, even in the sense that, and it's still a different way. So in Jamaica, I would have not necessarily been, I'm a minority there. I mean, I'm a minority in America in a different way. And this is literally understanding that I've been, I guess, when you go to America, you realize how Black you are.
Right? Yeah.
But at the same time, it's a struggle to fit. I think because America, for instance, has a lot of very clear boxes you need to be. Are you a Christian? So you can't be this. Or are you a, you know, Black? Then you can't. So when you get into trying, they try to fit you in a box. And that's when you realize the struggle that is anyone growing up in that society trying to become really, you know, embrace who they are, is that you can't, they literally don't allow you to be multidimensional and potentially obviously multiracial, because then where do you feel like you belong? And all of those kind of senses of belonging really got stronger when people forced that on me overseas. Whereas in Jamaica, I'm a Jamaican, there are obviously tons of issues here as well, but there was less so a yearning and a lack of feeling of I belong here.
Well said. Parliament in session. Okay, so let's get into the playlist, because as we said, that's a whole nother discussion, and that means we might have to have Kimmy Lou and Kim Shizzle back on the podcast at a later date.
Yeah, you know how this was to
And I would just say, just to end it, is that to be Kim, I always knew about diversity and, you know, the difference in terms of culture and all that. I knew that, I think since moving, mm-hmm. it has like opened my eyes so much more, you know, made my choices I get a bit more clearer, mm-hmm. you know, and the way, you know, I assert myself in certain conversations.
With other, right? And then you really yeah. realize your otherness as you go along living in outside of Jamaica, what that otherness means, you know, and yeah. it means different things in different countries. Right?
Mm-hmm. Facts, like, facts. I'm moving on. Music time, music time. Yeah, music time.
See, this is why I wanted both of you on the podcast. Yeah, so I chose my songs. This was really hard for me. And yes, it was easy when I narrowed it down to Black women as the artists, whether rappers or singers. However, I tried to choose songs that, and so I chose songs that helped me to, that reminded me or make me feel like I can be as uninhibited as possible. Like the emotion of the song drives me to sing at the top of my lungs or dance or just feel uninhibited in some way through the emotion that's being driven in the song. So that is the basis for which I chose. And also another disclaimer is that not all the songs are done by my favorite artist. So there's not a connection between the song and whether or not the artist is my favorite. So my first song is When I See You by Fantasia, which is, it's just such a happy song. It makes me feel good. It makes you smile. It just is, when I hear her sing it live, it's just such a beautiful song. And I'm not a fan of Fantasia. This is probably one of the only songs of hers that I know. But it is just such a feel good. When you hear it in the club, you start swaying from side to side. And you think of that like teenage high school sweetheart love that just made you feel all giddy inside. And
I just have to say, right, that is one of the few songs where you see a lot of Black men singing to. Yes. Like them have no issues yes. built in that, and the top of their lungs. I'm like always amazed. It warms my heart, but yeah. I'm always amazed that they know line for line.
Absolutely, it definitely amazed me too. And I think it's because it's just raw and real and feel good.
Yeah,
and everybody wants that deep down.
Yeah, yeah. I might have the songs in my, I have the song in my head right now. Yeah, but yeah.
You can hear it in your head, right?
Yeah.
That song. And I think it also for me represents her, I was rooting for Fantasia all through American Idol. So like, I feel like that's her triumph song. And I feel celebratory because it represents that for me, for her.
Amazing.
And she sings the out of it, you understand, when you get to the end part.
Yes
yeah,
no, some notes,
yeah. And you can feel it,
and it's actually crazy, right? Because in her real life she's been through some deep shit, like,
facts. Yes.
Somebody who's been through that level of pain and trauma to sing something that's so happy and so beautiful just makes me, as Kimmy said, it just makes me smile. And yeah, mm-hmm. the fact that she can bring us that joy is great.
Yeah, man, that's I think that will go down as a timeless song. You know, not, it will be, I think, one of her timeless songs. Let yeah. me go that. When you think of Fantasia, you think of that song.
All right. As you know, this was very, very tough. I just want to stress how tough this was.
What was the process for you, Kimmy?
Right. So that's why I said, all right. So having at least narrowed it to, you know, sung by dope with Black women helped a whole lot, but it's still, there's just too many to name. And so what I did was I went by how these songs made me feel. So it's not necessarily the most popular song, usually not, but some of them are, to be honest. And this one I'm probably going to name is, but it's literally, I respond to music physically, emotionally, without, I can't explain how I might feel while it's happening. I get chills all the time, especially when I hear good music, whether it is verbal, like somebody saying something that resonates with me, or literal compositions. So I thought about how it made me feel. And potentially, also mixed in there is time of life and what it did for me. So this one might be not a surprise to Leanne Leavers. So the artist is Lauryn Hill.
Of course.
I don't want to claim, I want to say that I'm really not a fan of many people, as everybody, like, that's my thing. I kind of don't subscribe to the whole idea of fan, right? But ratings, especially because I can't say Lauryn and I are best friends, you know, I can just only see what my perception of her are. But in this case, I almost could take the word fan, because I think I grew up not just listening to her music, but kind of watching her grow as a person based on what I could see, obviously. Mm. And feeling like this is somebody I know to what, you know, so well and whatever, and can relate to, and et cetera, et cetera. I don't know why, and I still was trying to articulate why, you know, she was that person for me. But I think for sure it's timing too. This album, the whole entire album, came at an awesome time. When I say awesome, it was a very tough time in life for me, but I use music to get through it. So this was around 1998. A lot of stuff went on, right? And a lot of people will know that, you know, as a young girl, I went through a lot in terms of just my experiences with death, etc. And so I literally dove into music, and I had to be studying for exams. And I remember I rinsed this entire album. I was going to pick Every Ghetto, Every City, which is on the album.
Okay, that's actually quite unexpected.
Absolutely. So I would say it was between that and Doo-Wop, right?
Okay.
And so now I'll get back to the Doo-Wop and why it is because even though every single song on that album meant something to me, this one did most of the uplifting in terms of, you know, lifting my spirit. This song never come off a repeat. You know, when you hear something all over the radio, everywhere else, it kind of starts to get, you almost get desensitized to it. But yeah, if I really think back of how I felt at the time and still how dear this song is to me, it's my number one from that album. And I'll say it is because of the escape that I was able to do when listening to this song. And it literally lifted my spirit every single time I heard it.
Yeah, I do love that song a lot. And actually, now that I think about the lyrics, even more so than just being an a happy, uplifting song sonically, it's actually quite an empowering song. Like, she's talking to young Black women, right?
Yep.
And trying to bring them out of this kind of patriarchal mindset, which is, but does it in a way that does it, it's not like she's not bulldozing you, because sonically it is such a happy kind of doo-wop, no pun intended, sound.
I think that was deliberate. I mean, I can also get into to that part of it, the deep part of it, which is that these are the things that I would hear even from my older brother at the time before he died, was, you know, watch out for this, watch out for that, you know, don't, you know, I got a lot of warnings. I had a lot of big brother types in my life. And so I felt like, I wouldn't say that the song educated me, but it reinforced my perception of how I needed to trod life at that time in terms of relationships.
Mm.
And the only thing I'd add to that is I think that was the first time in a long time, somebody completely sang and rapped like that. It's normally, if somebody sang, they would sing like probably one or two words, or, you know, but it was in a long time. I know who sang and rapped before Lauryn Hill, but in that aspect, I think it was like very few people did it.
I don't like being put in a box, and I think she was the epitome of,
facts.
I don't, here's a barrier, facts. And I'm like,
very, yeah, like me bad too. Yeah, terrible. I'm probably better than you. You can't sing. You only can rap.
Damn. All right, Kim Shizzle. All
right, my one, short and sweet. So we started out slow. I have to go into like why I choose a song.
Yes.
Yeah, our early ones. So let me tell you why I chose this song. Patina Bell. If you only knew how much I do love you.
Oh.
See that? You see Kim? Jellies. So reason I chose that song, it has been redone so many times, but Patti's original just does it for me. It's a song before my time, but you know, if I could choose all soul songs, I think you asked us why we chose the songs we chose before, that's all. Right. It was very hard to choose, but how I chose my songs were, I'm a lover of soul music, so I have to include soul music. I tried to hit a very, very diverse genres of leaders within their own genre.
Okay.
Right? Patti LaBelle. The song shows a lot of vulnerability. Mm. Right? You know, and, you know, back in the day, women were singing like all of them, like hippie, not hippie, but that kind of doo-wop kind of songs, you know, yes, soul music. And but this one showed so much vulnerability in like, I must have rehearsed my lines 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. Patti, you're nervous? All right, okay, I like it. And telling the gentleman, like, if you only know how much I do love you, for real, that it just shows the level of vulnerability that she was willing to take and share, you know, to whoever that she loved. You knew it wasn't misleading, it wasn't raunchy, it wasn't anything of the sort. It was just plain old speaking from the heart. And that is what I love. Yeah, it shows her versatility in music. And it shows that there are many layers that a woman could kind of have. You understand? Because when you hear that song, you're like, yeah, man, for real, I wish I could sing this to somebody. Like, yes, I love you. Do you know? You know how much time I write on these notes in my phone to tell you? Like, come on, man. Anyways, but that's my first mm-hmm. choice.
First, I need to jump in because I'm a Patti LaBelle fan, and that's my favorite song from her. So yeah, actually, that's part of why I vexed Leanne's did 3 songs.
Oh, you wanted more?
Yes.
Well, we could be here all night if it was more.
Exactly. And if it was more, Kim, we would have been here all night because my app sang.
That's why I conceded. But why I said that is because even I have chosen 3, and I would say that era, I could have a million from them, mm-hmm. right?
Listen, when I start build that song, right, and blast it in my house, listen to me, everybody going to say me love, but not so me and the broomer dance.
Just even how she says, if I want to tell you that, and how it changes as the song progresses, like it's almost like she starts off in a little calm way, like mm-hmm. she starts getting a little more grit in the voice because she's trying to say, if. No, seriously, if
like sir, no, like sir, like, my love, sir, you know, you gotta know how much I love it, but I started off soft.
Okay, cool. So my second song is actually a Lauryn Hill song. I did not pick a song from Miseducation of Lauryn Hill because I almost assumed that Kimmy Lou would pick one. Yes. Although I don't think this is on Miseducation. No, it's not. It's on the soundtrack for a movie with Mel Gibson in it. And the original is by Frank Valli and the Four Seasons, and it's Can't Take My Eyes Off of You.
Which is it's a redo, but it's an awesome.
It's an amazing redo. And I think Kimmy Lou will tell you that every time we take a road trip to the country, this song is likely to play. Like, I think 99% is the likelihood is that this song is going to get played. And it is another feel-good song. I think the last time I did this with Roshan and Livs, all of my songs were quite depressing. But this song, I do love that movie, even though I can't remember the name of it right now. Oh, Conspiracy Theory. That's what it is. It's on the soundtrack for Conspiracy Theory with Mel Gibson and Julia Roberts. As Kimmy said, it's an awesome remake of a song that is actually quite like campy and a little bit cheesy when you first hear it, because it's from that era of like, and she's redone it in a way that maintains the like foundation of it, but makes it into something that's completely different. And anytime you try to redo a song, there's a tendency to make it sound the same, right? But it could actually be a completely different song, which is what I appreciate about like her innovation and just her creativity. Like, lots of people don't even know that it's a cover. I just think of My Hair Blowing in the Wind and driving to the country and feeling complete peace.
That's some deep lyrics though. But what I agree with you in terms of, it's a very simple song. But what Lauryn Hill did in Lauryn Hill true fashion is like make it her own. You know, with the beat, how she sings it at different pieces, you know? And it's like when Lauryn Hill performs, sings, rap, you feel it. I don't know where she's singing from, but you feel it. Because like when I hear, when he said a song, all I'm hearing her belt out, "I need you, baby, if it's quite all right."
Just those lines alone, like the emotion in those lines alone is so...
Like what?
And it's that kind of old-fashioned love, like, you know, polite, but still... you know, expressive and wanting and needing. I love it. I think too, as you said, she added her own spin to it. She also added that kind of like a soul funk vibe to it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of in the way she, you know, her ad libs, those kind of things that just brought the thing to a modern state. But like, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Okay, number two. All right, so this is now going to, into some souls, right? Janet Jackson again.
Wow, that's such a surprise.
Yeah.
Is it?
I don't know what, yeah, for
Kimmy. Well, is that soul? Well, it's a soul song, so, and Janet don't have many of them, so let's hear this.
True, okay, go ahead.
Well, I mean, what's the surprise, Leanne?
We talk about music all the time, and I don't think we've ever discussed Janet Jackson, that's why I'm surprised.
Yeah, no, and you're right. It's definitive of our time, and it is constantly up there as number one song of all time for me, actually.
Wow.
And I don't know why I don't speak about it more. But again, it's how the song makes me feel. And I think probably that is just harping on my childhood and there's that, you know, that point and how happy I was. And I think why it's so awesome for me is that it represents a time that I fell in love with love songs of my generation. So I grew up, you know, Sunday music, you know, you have your Anita Baker, you have your Patti LaBelle that you, you know, your parents would be playing on repeat. But I actually felt this song and I wasn't in love, and it was amazing to me how I could literally dive into it, imagine myself in love, and I'm 10 years old. So let's put that in context. This was like 94, 93 sometime. And I literally just remember having that song on repeat and feeling giggly and like transforming myself into the space of this person who was really in love. Like, and I don't think I had that feeling. It was like wanting and needing to have that thing that she's singing about. She basically talking about somebody that she had a past relationship with, and she's feeling tempted to speak to them again. And it's just like, suddenly the memories of what happened came back to her in her mind, and she's like trying to muscle up the energy to approach this person again. Similar to how you might feel at that age, trying to say something to your crush. I remember liking, you know, who I liked at the time.
No names, Kimmy, no names.
I know I couldn't, but this guy I really liked in school at the time could not get the words out. And that, and imagining myself saying it, yeah, you know, is something. So that's one. Two, musically, as I said, whoever did the accompaniment of the piano to this song literally translated in sound what she was feeling to me, like, timing of when the piano, you know, each attacked you in terms of just bringing down those walls and making you vulnerable and really feeling the same way she felt, you know, how she was expressing it in words. I felt it in the song. And I think that's when I fell in love with music even more. I was in love, but I didn't know how. And I think just the way I felt giggly every time the song came on, I was like, no, sir.
Yeah. Janet is like not known for
those vulnerable moments. It's always upbeat, all these things dancing. So whenever you hear her sing these songs like this, and what she also did was her words breathe.
You know, they're spacing. Very
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's how she's like, I how are you going again? I don't want to sing.
I heard from a friend today.
It's like it's a slow, it's like it's just easy, simple. Yep.
Yeah, it's true. The phrasing is intentional.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Facts.
Very deliberate. Everything about timing, I think, was the number one theme for me in terms of how impressed I was with the composition. It was thoughtful.
Chisel.
Okay. My next song is Queen Latifah, UNITY.
I was just listening to that today.
Right? So as she starts off, UNITY, who you calling a bitch? She goes just right directly to the man that myself, we are cut. You know, it was literally standing up for women, women in rap as well, but more so women in its entirety. Like, nah, you address me as my name. You calling a bitch or who you calling a bitch or a hoe? Excuse me? You know, so it was such a strong message, a strong song that is still relevant today. You feel me? So, and ideally, you know, underneath it all, yes, it's standing up for women and women's rights, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, she's not saying, women, this, listen to us. We should be respected, but we want to coincide and live, you know, with you men. Just respect us. You understand? We respect you. Just give us some respect as well. You feel me? So when you listen to the song, you're like, again, going back to like the singing and the rapping as well, as mentioned before. But I think it's one of those timeless songs that, you know, that still matter then and still matters now. I love Queen Latifah as well. I think that she's my faraway cousin that we have never met. But that's just me.
Yeah. Okay.
No, and to me, it's hip hop, you know?
I think one of the things that I love about that song, beyond the message, going back to what we said, similar to Janet and kind of the breathing and stuff, is the rhyme scheme that she uses. Like, the chorus is very like clear and people can sing along, but within the verses she switches up her rhyme scheme all the time.
She does.
And
yes,
and people don't really understand how difficult it is to do, especially in a time where people were rapping in a very, no, I don't want to say nursery rhyme kind of way, but in a very like expected
counting, like slow, one beat all the time.
And she, you know, I'm not going to compare her to Jay-Z in that sense, but she was one of the first women to shift in. I rate her highly as a lyrical rapper.
Listen, I think a lot of people at that time, how vocal she was and the word, what she used and what she spoke about, people did listen because, all right, cool, this is not the regular, it's just on the air. You understand? It was of things that matter, you know, what she was saying at that time.
Okay, last song, guys, before we go into our bonus round. Kim Shizzle is actually going to know this song.
Okay.
Because I post it on Instagram all the time.
Yes, if it's that song.
Is it your song?
This is an amazing song. No, it's not on my song, but this is an amazing song.
I don't even think I knew who this woman was before I heard this song. I lie. I saw her on a reality TV show one day, but I didn't know who she was as a singer. And I think the reality show actually prompted me, as a BET reality show, actually prompted me to download an album just to hear accounts from the reality show. She was a big deal. But I didn't know who she was.
That song there, bud.
And
if it's the same song, I'm thinking.
It's the same song.
Her name started with L? Yeah. Her name started with L? Jeez Louise.
Can you guys get to it.
Okay, please. Sorry. But every time I hear this song, and I don't even know if I, every single time I hear this song, I cry. So every single time you see me post this on Instagram, I am in tears.
Bucket. Oh, jeez. All right. Wow.
And it's not because it makes me sad. It's just like, this is love. Like, this is the epitome, the definition, sonically, lyrically. Sorry, Kimmy. Of
Tell her the song.
Yeah, sorry. That's how much I gush about this song. So it is Lila James, Falling For You.
Song bad.
It is. And it's, she's not my favorite artist. I might know like two other songs of hers. She has an amazing voice.
She has an amazing voice.
Fuck me, man. Like, the song is just, like,
I am falling for you, sir, miss,
whoever.
Will you catch me? Because me, I'm gonna fall. I am going to fall. That's how madly in love I am with you.
When Kimmy says, that's exactly what the song feels like.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I knew it. I think it was back in the day, because I was, me and music, and then it's soul music. And I was watching the video, listening to it, and it's literally just, again, the piano and the voice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like that. Adele never start this, no. You understand? I didn't ever start the piano and the vocals. It's been around for a minute. But it's literally, her video is very simple, a black and white video, her sitting down, her singing. Really catch me if I fall for you because I'm falling. Jeez.
Yeah, it's the way she sings it.
Yeah. When she said that, she's telling that my heart is ready for love. It is ready. I am here. I am ready to take this leap of faith with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right, well, now.
I've never done it before. And this is like me bearing my soul. It is a bearing of the soul. That's what it is.
It is.
Yeah. Oof. Okay.
Yeah, man. But
Kim Lu. Sorry.
I was listening to you guys and I was wondering if I really want to go into the next depressing.
No, don't do it.
No, do it. That's what you had. So,
all right. No, it's what I had, but let me tell you, kind of like my Lauren, choosing one from Lauren was so difficult. I mean, I'll say the person first, which is Tracy Chapman.
Oh, yeah. And
I'm like a big, so next time fan, big Tracy Chapman.
Which song I got to choose?
So, you want the depressing one, or you want like the
I want
Fast Car.
We want you.
That's not the depressing one that I was gonna go to.
Give me one reason to stay here. And I turn back right around.
Kim is just listening the whole
track listing.
I was gonna say, like, that's why it was so hard for me, because every single song I have a story or something that means something to me, why this song is so important in my life. So one was Fast Car. One was The Promise.
Great song.
Wow, great.
So that was the one that's the one I chose. Oh, right. But
I love that song.
Can go depressing again. With Why and How is just beautiful to me. And I feel like, and I'll say Why on The Promise. And it's kind of similar to, in terms of the vulnerability, some of the ones that we've mentioned before. But this one is more of an assurance. If you hear it, it's literally like that level of maturity in love now, where you're saying, listen, I'm ready to step out. So like, for instance, again, it's like her saying, oh my gosh, should I don't know, whatever it is. This is like the young, you know, bubbly, kind of new to this thing. I don't know what to do or say. This one now is like, listen, I love you to this kind of length of this kind of depth and breadth of the earth, and here's what I'm going to do. Like, she literally says, like, if you wait for me, I'll come for you.
Yeah.
Like, although no matter where I am, this is the kind of time and space kind of love that, like, you know, you risk it all kind of love. And again, the way that this is composed, like the mood of this, as I said, depressing, and it's not really a depressing song, but it's like, you can tell that there's some kind of tension in there where she may not get this person. I don't know, you know, what happens. But it's that's what's kind of sad, is like this level of desperate love. I really hope that it comes through. But the level of the depth of the words in this song is, I mean, you know, people don't, unless you're going through it, I don't think you can come up with these kind of words.
Yeah, yeah. The reason that I think it's depressing is because I know she's not going to get it. Because when the truth of it is, or the reality of it is that when you feel that depth of love, it is not sustainable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That depth of wanting someone so badly that you will literally crawl for them to the ends of the earth is not sustainable love. And it's very, it's once in a lifetime to be reciprocated.
Probably just a feeling in a moment, you know, and that's the thing, you know, is that maybe doesn't need to be how you feel 100% all day, every day about said person, but it could be a moment of vulnerability, and it just literally snapshot of time how I feel. I do agree that it could be problematic, you know, especially if you're the person feeling that way and not the receiving end, right?
Well, yeah. The truth is, if it was reciprocated, she wouldn't be writing the song, because she wouldn't have to crawl anywhere. She wouldn't have
this
to go to him. Because, or her
pressure, but,
because they would be there.
She says something about if you keep waiting, and I don't know why, you know, it's depressing, because I don't, you know, you don't quite know what that tension is or what caused it or what caused the distance, but it's literally a promise that if you keep your end, I'm gonna keep mine. And I mean, that kind of love and chivalry and whatever you want to call it is, as you said, rare. But it's good to process, and it's good to reference it, even if it's not that you're seeking this kind of perfection. It's still good to know that people can feel this way about someone. As I said, I think my empath nature is what, because I can't say at the time I was thinking of a specific person. I can't remember what my situation was at the time, but I was feeling for this person who's in this situation. And I actually, as you say, it's like a tragedy at the same time, but it's a deep feeling that I respected this person being able to express themselves in that way.
Yes, I realize what about sad songs and this song. I tried not. Listen, I tried. There is balance. I tried not to choose. I tried not to choose some deep connected. That is just me, because I feel like I probably get emotional on this podcast. I'm like, oh jeez, bring up some. You know, y'all don't need that Kim Schuster tonight. You know,
people like
rainbows. Last one. I wish you could videotape your expression, because you're going to be like, for you, Patra, queen of the pack.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
For me, Patra, you know, even though her longevity within the overseas dancer was like so short, it was very, it made a mark. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Like, how many Jamaican artists, you know, Tupac is in their video. What? You understand?
Woman, yeah.
Yeah, understand, a dancer, woman, Jamaican, tiny island, Tupac is like this, you know? And she was that, you know, yes, we had ladies out, but Patra. Patra was like, oh my gosh, in your face, what she was singing, how she was gesticulating, all these things was like, she brought a next level of dancehall to the overseas market that I don't think people saw. She was so strong in her lyrics, strong in her energy, her look, her feel, everything. You just knew when Pasha stepped into a room, mm-hmm. you know, say she mean business, right? Mm-hmm. Title, it kind of is self-explanatory. I don't know, I think I want to feel like Spice redid some pieces of it, saying queen of. Regardless, you know, you have the king, the jack, the ace, but you have the queen, you know, so many men, but you have this one woman that stands out, you know, and they never say king of the pack or jack of the pack. They never said, they always say queen of the pack, because you are this prominent female that is in charge of your, not to say your career, your kingdom, you understand? And that song blended with that overseas, but yes, Jamaican and raw energy. And then, so when you think of all of my song choices, Soul, which is my love, Queen Latifah, because I just think she's in my top five rappers of all time. And Patro, because it's so easy to say some particular female dancehall artists or reggae artists. Many people don't mention Patro.
Mm-hmm.
They think about it. They will say Lady Saw, they will say Diana King, they will say No Spice and Shinsey or whatever the case may be. But you don't, you really hear a Patro, you know?
And she's like real OG.
Yeah, she need to get her applause for that too. My favorite was Romantic Call. But yeah, for sure. I think I used to know every single word of that song.
She busts the box braids. And I think Janet Jackson just did take it to the next level.
Right. So we've now chosen 9 songs, which again, we will recap and it will be in the caption for this episode and we will add it to the Dope Black Woman playlist. Now we have to decide on 1/10th song. So each of us will pick 1 song and we will collectively decide what the song should be out of the 3.
Wait. Oh, okay. You're 1 song out of the 3. All right, cool. Yeah.
So my nomination is Eve, Love is Blind.
That is a big Julian. Like, I totally forgot that even in my consideration. And I'm rethinking even what I would have put because yes, I think we need to add a more, let's just say, more dimension to the playlist from the depressing love songs. Not to say that they obviously made it there because of, you know, the beauty of it.
Yeah.
To add, you know, a little more fulsome experience for this playlist that really, like, I was in love with that song. I knew every single word.
When that album came
out, I used to ring it day in, day out. My friends and I in high school, we would just hang out and the whole album is on repeat. But this song, I don't know, is what made us so riled up that literally I knew every single word.
Yeah.
My cousin brought it from the CD from New York. And from that day, yeah, I don't know what, I was just so, obviously we know what the content of the song is. All right, let's go through the song first and then we can decide.
Right,
but yeah. I definitely would have put in a vote for that song too.
The only thing I will say about that song is that for me, obviously it's super passionate.
Yes.
But B, and I think both you and Kim Shizzle can relate to this concept. I'm not like much of a fighter. But every time I've ever been in a fight, because I used to have quite a bad temper when I was as younger, has been on the behalf of somebody else. So it's not something that somebody's done to me, but it's something that somebody has done to somebody that I care dearly about. And that instinctive wanting to protect people that you love is something that I think all of us can relate to. And she does it in such a
raw and
way.
Yeah, I'm there with you. And as I said, it's riled up is the description I use because I really felt, you know, there'll be more than one friend that maybe it's not to the degree of what obviously occurred in the song, which is, you know, was to a level, but any form of that being so helpless and want to help, that's it, literally encapsulates how you feel for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I got really riled up with that song. I was just so angry for that story. And again, as I said, I put myself in that situation.
I'm not going to vote for that Eve song only because it's me. And it's the same reasons why you vote for it, because it's so triggering.
Mm. Fair enough.
That is, like, it's so, I remember that song vividly and I'm like, we either know someone or know someone who knows someone who has been through such trauma. Mm-hmm. And within itself, I'm like, I get it. It's a great song. It's a powerful song, but it's so triggering.
that, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna vote for him, but yeah, that's,
yes, it's very triggering. And actually, it's probably not a good thing that you said that, Kim, because, but I just do remember connecting so much with the song because of how it highlighted something people don't talk about enough. And I was proud of her for doing it. So,
for sure. I'm going to stand in my song that I'm choosing now, which is a newer song, you know, in the 2000s thereabout, from a new artist. And the thing is that I appreciate this artist so much because she is keeping R&B and soul music alive, where it connects, you feel it, you know, you resonate with it, and so forth. And it is by her, the singer her, and the song is As I Am. I posted this like a couple months ago, because I think it was written like, it came out in 2019. Kimilu, I'm not sure if you know the song, but this is how the chorus goes. Tell me I'm the best I am. Yes, I'm feeling like, yes, I am. You know I'm the best I am. You'd be a fool not to take me as I am. She's telling whoever, right, that, yo, may I feel myself, no, like, I am the ish. But I would also like you to think that I am the ish as well, because, you know, the love and the connection that we have. She even goes to say, you're the sweetest thing I know, like my favorite Lauren song, right? Mm-hmm. So you already know, say when somebody refer to you, to a Lawrence, like, I am not Lawrence, you know, the song is bad as fuck. You understand? I am feeling so confident about myself. I hope that you are seeing this confidence as well, because one probably not gonna feel, you know. For me, it is a self-confidence song. You know, bigging up you, the individual, which I can appreciate, you know, because sometimes we are always pouring into people. This time, like, I'm pouring into myself, you know, but I hope you as the other person see that as well. Because it ain't nothing bad about it.
No, I actually really love that song. And you're the reason that I know that song, because you posted like a TikTok that the song was in the background and I'd never heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
And it stands in complete contrast to Kimmy's earlier choice, The Promise, about what we were talking about, sustainable and unsustainable love. Mm-hmm. And just to talk about Bell Hooks, rest in peace. You know, one of her main things about identifying and defining love was like how love should make you feel. And love that makes you feel needy and... needy is the wrong word, because I'm not saying Tracy Chapman was needy, but the level of desperation that we often hear in love songs is not love, because love should make you feel whole and love should make you be self-aware of your own power and your own strengths. And I think that song is very representative of that.
And she's like saying, you be a fool not to take me as I am. Right? So take me as I am, because I am amazing. I am awesome. I'm an awesome person. You'd be a fool not to take me, you know, as this individual that they're standing right before you. Kimilu, your turn now.
Your turn.
Kimilu, just go for a dancehall song, man.
That's where I said, when I said I couldn't imagine me having a list and it didn't have something from Anita Baker, Patti LaBelle, etc. The next crime I have here is not having something that is dancehall. Because, and I wanted to have kind of like a rationale for it. So there are like too many top songs, and you guys gave some two really good ones.
Just give a dancehall song.
All right, dancehall wise, yeah. For me, Lady Saw. So really and truly, if I think about like my favorite though, that artist, like dancehall female, it would be Lady Saw still. And even who she is now, for me, I love every transition. Talent wise, she's an awesome person.
When I think about the song, I would just add that at the end of the day, Nelly Saw has done so much that a lot of female dancehall artists have not. Dada King, you know, had a crossover tune that was everywhere, and he go London, wherever you hear it, like people are singing it. Or you may have a Spice now that, you know, she's a reality TV star, blah, blah, blah. Or you have Coffee who won the Grammy. For me, Lady Saw has literally done all of that together while being so authentically raw.
In many different ways, right?
Correct.
Not just speaking about raw in a sexual capacity.
No. In so many ways, like very authentic. She's been authentic to a T, lyrically. The things that she said, she could stand on her own on a stage, man needed, and command a crowd.
Yeah,
there are not many artists who do that back on them first go.
My fun fact story about Lady Saw is that a few months ago I emailed her to see if she would come on the podcast, and you know, talk about her transition into Christianity, etc., etc. And unlike some other dancehall artists who shall remain nameless, she responded to me. And she was just like, I really can't do it because I think she's coming out with a movie of her life, basically. And she wants to wait to like reignite the press tour before doing it. And that could have just been her making an excuse. I don't know. But she was like, I really like what you guys are doing. She was like, keep doing it. It's such an important piece of work. I rate you highly. God bless you. And was just really sweet and nice, you know. And she didn't have to email me back again and say all of that, but like she did. And yeah, man, I rate her for it. Outside of the fact that she's literally a dancehall icon.
She is. Facts.
Well, I said what I said in terms of I love who she is now. I actually see her glowing now. And even me, my journey, you know, I don't sing songs like certain songs anymore because of the maturity or, you know, where I'm in life, where I am with God, spirit, whatever it is, and the things I believe now as a 30-something, you know, 30 little bit year old. But it doesn't mean that I can't respect the talent of the past. So for instance, the first song you would think of for Lady Saw to me is No Long Talking.
Yeah.
For her, for what if a dancehall, etc. Yeah, you know, it's that. And I think it was though representing a lot of other things in terms of just expression, empowerment, and really owning your space. Yeah. So I rate her for that.
Because there are actually so many Lady Saw songs that could easily slide in as a 10th song.
Lady Saw has a maturity in how to say intonation in voice, the strength of her voice in the song.
Yeah, how she sings, yeah, man.
How she sings, yeah, just the breath, her breath.
Yes.
Everything. So it's just maturity.
I've always said how Lady Saw sings like that. Heaviness to her tone is what sets her apart, you know. Spice does not have that. No, I don't think any other female dancehall artist has that. The closest I see it sometimes in Shinsia, when how she drops certain things, that's I've heard it in Shinsia's voice, that tone. Right. But Lady Saw have a tone that it's so And I'm pretty sure there is a musical word for how she sings or how she DJs. But that is what sets her apart from everybody else. It's almost like that Patra vibe as well, you feel me? But again, that's different, but she has something. She has something, man.
I try to capture it as maturity because it is knowing how to say what, and you know the tone of your voice when to literally communicates what she's trying to say, meaning the choice of her tone, and that is maturity. You have to know when to do that, but anyway, we can go off on that for a while. But yeah, I think we have it. So
first of all the women feel it, right? But you see the men,
They want to sing the song now, but I can't sing it. So them I hold it. You see them literally bite them lip, like, damn, I can't sing this song. But them hold it. But and they all, but them get in position because them know the song. And then guess what? They know the words as well. Them don't make no man fool you. Them know the words, yeah? Them know, baby, are you up for this? Give me all what? So I can turn and twist. Them know it. Don't make no man fool you. Yeah, man, lay this off all the way. I agree. That's my pick to Kimelo. Trust me, because I never noticed a sycamore tree until she said, and I remember that very vividly in high school.
That is very true. I had no clue before. It probably didn't dawn on me what that song was about until much later after I heard it. Like,
that's what I was saying. Times. Even Ninja Bike for me, when I was younger, I mean, I knew what the chorus was saying, what every detail of what she was saying in the verse.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That's like, and what?
I'm probably too young to have been knowing those things, but at the end of the day, that's life, yeah.
I think that's such a staple part of Caribbean upbringing, is listening to vulgar songs that you have no clue what they mean, but somehow it's acceptable for you to be in a dance at like 7 years old listening to the slackest of slackest songs.
And we came out fine. Not saying that that's no, I'm a proponent of it, but I'm just saying because we had great upbringing, and sometimes it was just a song for us, certain people.
And, you know? And we did not come out just fine, Kimberly. We came out amazing. We ain't basic around here. We fine. No, amazing.
Well, I think that's a great note to end the podcast on. So we have our playlist, which gladly Dance Hall is on, as I think is quite apt since we are all Jamaican women. I think it works. I will be sharing the playlist on Spotify, and obviously it will be in the caption. So thank you so much for joining me, Kim Shizzle and Kimmy Lou.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So thank you so much, ladies, for joining me. This was amazing. We had such a good time, and we ended up with a really dope playlist, which I will share. Don't forget to share and subscribe and listen to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. On Twitter and Facebook, we are Dope Black Women, and on Instagram, we're Dope Black Women 1. We'll be back with you next week. Until then, stay blessed and unapologetically black.
All the way black.
Blackity black.
Black test.
Black test. Yeah.